I'll Never Be Seven by Gilbert Lottier, translated by Kitty Black, with Prunella Scales as the little girl. I'll Never Be Seven.
Come along, darling. It's bedtime. Night-night, darling.
Now hurry up and go to sleep, darling.
All right, Mummy. Night-night.
Night-night.
Just one more day and then I'll be seven. That's what Mummy said. It'll be my birthday. She says big girls of seven are allowed to try on their mummy's high-heeled shoes and use their daddy's aftershave lotion. Hurry up tomorrow. There shouldn't be so many days in a week. There shouldn't be any Mondays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Tomorrow is much redder, much greener, much bluer than a Friday or a Saturday. I saw Mummy hiding a cake in the kitchen. It looked enormous, simply delicious, because it was hidden in a big white cardboard box. Wrapping round a cake is like a poem. It tells you all about the cake and explains in big letters who you have to ring up if you want to buy another one. The best ones are tied up with red string, which I use to make hair ribbons for my dolls. I wonder what kind of presents I'm going to get. I've already got a clockwork cat with no clockwork, no paws, no head and no tail, which might even be a woolly dog that's lost its wool. Two pieces of stuff I pulled off the back of the TV that nobody has noticed are missing. A fire engine with no wheels, no fireman and no ladder, but you can still play with it because it's got the string you pull it along by. Three shoe brushes for my dolls, which Mummy's been looking for everywhere.
Has anyone seen my toothbrushes?
A big doll's shoe, which a little doll is wearing as a hat. Two giraffes, which I love because I can pull their eyes out. Two dolls, which I hate because I can't pull their eyes out. Oh, I nearly forgot. A new doll's cradle, which will always be new because I like putting my dolls to bed in shoeboxes. Tomorrow they say I'll be as big as that. As that is the way Daddy measures. He always says, as that, when he stretches out his arms as far as they'll go. As that begins with the fingers of his right hand and goes all the way to the end of the fingers of his other hand. It's very big and very warm, like when he hugs me. He always says,
you're a nice little girl, and I love you as much as that.
Daddy adores Mummy. That's what she says, and that's what he says, too. They have games they play like two puppies. They stick their mouths together like stamps on a letter. Then there's a smacking sound, which always makes me laugh. Daddy's like a tree, very wide at the bottom and very small at the top. Mummy always kisses the small part. Whenever I tell Mummy a secret and ask her not to tell Daddy, I've noticed that she always starts speaking to him in Italian. I can speak Italian too. Uno, due, tre. But only Daddy understands Mummy's Italian. Mummy's so funny, she makes me laugh and laugh. That's why I call her Mummy Clown. I often want to kiss her all over, on her lips, on her nose, on her pretty hands, on her hair, which is golden like ripe corn and touches the ceiling when she puts it on top of her head. Sometimes she lets me do it for her. The hairpins must go in very firmly, and the pretty side combs must be put in carefully so as not to hurt her. One night I laughed a lot because Mummy got her hair caught in the zip of my orange pyjamas. She pulled her head away and some of her hair came out. When she'd gone, I touched my pyjamas and found the long hair still there. I stroked them and kissed them, and then I told them to be very good and keep still, and they slept all night on my tummy. The other day, she told me a very sad once-upon-a-time story. It was all about a goldfish who fell in the sea and got caught by a horrid fisherman. His horrid wife cooked it for him in a horrid oven. I cried and cried. Then Daddy suddenly arrived from behind like he always does and scolded Mummy. He used a lot of words full of I's and O's. I didn't understand them.
Really, darling, your psychological misunderstanding of infant mentality is totally incomprehensible.
But I'm only telling
her... Stories should make little girls laugh and not upset them just when they're going to bed.
Ever since that, I've always laughed at Mummy's stories to please Daddy and stop him scolding Mummy. But when we're alone, I ask her to tell me stories about the big bad wolf.
No!
Yes, the big bad wolf who huffed and puffed!
Daddy says I mustn't. You'll be frightened.
It's true, it did make me cry once. But that was because she wouldn't tell me if when the wolf started to eat Little Red Riding Hood, he began with her head or her feet. Only daddies believe that little girls are afraid of the big bad wolf. Little girls are only afraid of the horrid hunter who murders the nice bad wolf, because if there's no wolf to gobble up Little Red Riding Hood, who's going to eat her? And if nobody eats her, what kind of stories can little girls ask their mummies to tell them when they're going to bed? My daddy's job is to go on long journeys. When he comes home, he always sleeps for a long time. When I've been extra good, Mummy lets me go and see him in bed.
Don't make a noise, will you?
I hold my breath so I won't wake him. I even take my slippers off. A daddy lying in bed is quite different from a daddy standing up. There's such a lot more of him you can kiss. After each kiss, he goes... Mummy says that's his way of showing he's happy when he's asleep. I like that daddy much better than the one that walks about. Standing up, daddy's legs are too long and the part under his chin is full of prickly black fur. It's all on different levels, like a great big shop. When I want to kiss the top level, I get dizzy because he picks me up so I can reach his mountain top mouth. I hold on to his hair to stop myself falling and I get told off. I can't talk to this daddy mountain for a long time because I have to keep looking up and I get a crick in my neck. Daddy lying down is much cosier. Sometimes, when he's asleep, I get between the sheets beside him and try to think why Mummy likes sleeping there so much. When I grow up, my job is going to be to stay in one place. I shall have a big house with lots of keyholes and I'll wear a belt all covered with keys. Every time I go into a room, I shall lock the door to make sure of staying there, even if I don't want to. Daddy often says he'd like to stop travelling so much, but he can't help it. It's his job. I know that if I didn't want to go anywhere, I just wouldn't go. I'd glue myself to my husband and we'd do everything together. When I grow up, I'll be a schoolmistress in a school with no dictation, no sums, no writing. Instead, all the daddy pupils will learn how to put their arms round the mummy pupils, and all the mummy pupils will learn how to whisper into the ears of the daddy pupils things that will make them stay with their little daughters. In my school, there'll never be any geography lessons because looking at maps makes the daddies want to go away. No one will be allowed to talk about roads except for the ones that go round and round the houses of the little mothers. This morning, while she was polishing her new patent leather shoes, my friend Martine asked me...
Why haven't you got a little brother?
Don't know.
I've got a brother and two sisters.
Three of them?
Yes.
Where did you find them?
I didn't find them. Mummy and Daddy made them.
I was very sad. I went home and asked Mummy, why haven't you and Daddy made me some brothers and sisters?
Because you're an only child.
Ah. I said ah and put my finger up my nose to show Mummy that I didn't like being an only child.
Well, if you had a little sister, you'd have to lend her your dolls.
Don't want a little sister, I want a little brother.
Well, if you had a little brother, you'd have to share your daddy with him.
I imagined Daddy cut in half and thought it would be much more uncomfortable for him than it would be for me. All right, I'll chop Daddy in half. Wouldn't be such a dreadful thing because he's away so often.
Well, you're not being very kind to poor Daddy.
But Martine chopped...
Martine is a nice little girl.
I thought it was funny that Martine, who had chopped her Daddy into four pieces, should be nicer than me. I started picking my nose again to make Mummy cross. When Martine came back this afternoon with her stories of her brothers and sisters, I said, I think you're very unlucky.
Why?
If you hadn't got your brothers and sisters already, you might have been my sister. At first she pretended not to understand. Then to really upset her, I said, we could have played together. She couldn't help picking her nose then. I went on, there are some secrets that you never tell strangers. When she thought of the fun she was missing, she started to scratch her spots. Then I had to stop because I like watching her scratch her spots. Sisters can swap clothes. She started to get all sweaty. And then when her mummy arrived and found her soaking wet, she gave her a good smacking. Only after she'd been smacked, I comforted her. I said, you aren't my sister, but you can still be my husband. We played all afternoon at being married and having babies and getting divorced. In the evening, we were both very old and we went home because we didn't want to die and be taken away to a graveyard full of werewolves. One day, Mummy and I waited a long time for Daddy. I know it was a long time because we had lunch without him. Then we had tea without him and then we had supper and he still didn't come. Mummy wanted to put me to bed. I said I would only go to bed when Daddy came.
In waiting. Daddy's always drive slowly when there's snow on the road. Now be a good girl and go to bed.
I had to behave like a big girl and get into bed. But I didn't go to sleep because I wasn't very tired. I heard my mummy clown turn on the television and make herself some coffee. I thought of the white snow and the dark brown coffee and my white bed, and I wanted so much to see my daddy come home. Then the telephone rang.
Hello?
I like it when Mummy says hello because it means we're going to a party. It means we're going to visit Granny or I've been invited to play with the little girl next door or a whole lot of nice surprises.
Hello.
Why did you say hello twice?
Oh, no.
I heard Mummy's voice change. It sounded like chocolate paper being scrunched up.
Yes. Yes, I understand. Yes. Yes, but where? How did it happen?
I thought it's not Granny. Not the lady next door. And Mummy still had her funny scrunched up voice.
What should I do?
That was a funny question. Mummy always knows what to do. She's never bored. She makes puppets and she paints pictures and she strings beads or she kisses Daddy. Why did she ask what she should do?
Yes. Yes, very well. I'll stay here.
Who wanted her to go out? She put down the phone and I heard a funny watery sound in the dining room. The television stopped. I called Mummy. She ran to me at once.
Oh, my darling.
She took me in her arms and kissed me all over and stroked my hair and I tasted salt on her. I didn't understand.
Daddy won't be coming home tonight.
Because of the snow?
Because of an accident.
What kind of accident, Mummy?
A very bad accident.
When Mummy says it's very bad and when Daddy says it's very important, I know that I mustn't ask any more questions and that I must make myself very small.
You know the big car? Well, it hurt Daddy very much. It was a very naughty car. Because of the snow and because Daddy was sleepy, the big car did a very silly thing.
Can cars do silly things?
Yes. Daddy's car tried to hide under the huge lorry. And it's hurt him very much.
Is that why Daddy isn't here?
He's in the big hospital.
Like the one where Grandpa died? I don't think I should have said that. It was silly because Mummy seemed to be swallowing the air. She swelled up and then suddenly she fell on my bed and began crying and crying and crying. I didn't know what to do. So I cried and then she stopped.
Come along, we'll have breakfast.
But, Mummy, it's not time yet. It's still dark.
Then I'll draw some pictures.
Usually I'm the one who draws the pictures. But this time it was Mummy who took out my box of crayons and she began to draw a blue car. Then she drew a red lorry. A big one with red headlights and a red man driving it.
Where's Daddy?
There!
And Mummy made a big red mark on the lorry's windscreen. There, she said, making the mark even bigger. There, he's there. Mummy shouted and she scribbled all over the paper with the crayon. And she pressed so hard that she scratched the table underneath. Suddenly the crayon broke. I didn't move. I was frightened. I knew where the pencil sharpener was, but I didn't say anything. Mummy was shaking. She drank lots of coffee, using the big soup spoon to stir it. I didn't tell her she was using the wrong one. Then we both lay down. Mummy took me into her bed. I was very proud to be sleeping in Daddy's place and using his pillow.
We must carry on just as if Daddy was here.
That's what Mummy decided. I thought this was a funny new game and I said, yes, 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 three times.
Take up Daddy's slippers.
I ran to fetch them from the cupboard and laid them out in the bedroom. When I came down, I said, Daddy's thirsty. Mummy poured a glass of beer for him. She didn't argue. On the way up, I tasted it. It was very bitter, but it seems you have to like it if you want to grow up. So I decided I liked it. Luckily, Daddy didn't notice that I'd drunk some of his beer. I thought it was very useful having a daddy who wasn't there. He couldn't tell me off anymore. Mummy went to her room. She put on her prettiest dress, the one covered in lace and flowers. She put on some scent and changed her stockings. I watched her through the door. Are we going out?
No.
Then why are you putting that dress on and your gold shoes?
For Daddy.
But he isn't coming home. I stopped at once because Mummy was very cross.
Don't you dare say that ever again!
I felt a bit sulky, but I wasn't sulking. I said, Daddy will be so pleased that you're all dressed up. Mummy brushed her hair for a long, long time, pulling her brush to the very tips of her curls. Then we had to eat. Mummy laid three plates and three glasses and three forks and three napkins. We cut bread for Daddy, who wasn't there, but only one slice because he didn't ask for any more. When pudding came, I asked, Mummy, can I eat Daddy's?
No, but, I'll give you some of mine.
I wanted Daddy's cake, which had pink icing with a cherry on top.
Please, Mummy, not yours. Daddy's.
No!
I started to think it was silly having a daddy who wasn't there and yet who still wanted to keep his cake. I don't remember what happened next because I could think of nothing else except Daddy's cake and that I mustn't touch it. Now that Daddy isn't here, it's very complicated being 6 years old in our house. Life has got very lopsided. Before, everything came in threes. Now we float around in the rooms just like you do when your clothes are too big for you. Mummy tries to be herself and Daddy to make me believe things are just as they used to be. Sometimes I'd be glad if she'd forget me a little. Now she doesn't have Daddy to look after. She spends all her time looking after me. I think a daddy far away is much less use than a daddy at home. When Mummy smacks me, it hurts much more because Mummy says if Daddy was there, I'd be smacked twice over. But so I won't miss anything, she smacks me three times over. It's no fun wearing Daddy's slippers and drinking his beer anymore because he isn't there to catch me. And it's no fun knocking at his door anymore because he isn't there to say nobody at home. And it's no fun anymore playing with his waste paper basket. Hasn't got anything in it. Even my dreams are dull. Daddy was a part of the Red Indians, a part of the Big Bad Wolf, part of Baba the Elephant. Now I don't have nightmares. Now I dream pretty dreams like all good little girls. But it's no fun being a good little girl. Sometimes I wonder, is a mummy without a daddy still a mummy? When that happens, I squeeze her very tight to make sure she's still there and that she hasn't lost an arm or a leg. In the street, I'm very frightened of the gentlemen who don't look at her like a mummy anymore. Will I have to start calling Mummy Miss? Now that Daddy isn't here, Mummy needs a lot of silence. All the time she shushes me. I can't play any more at being poor Martha scalped by the Red Indians or skinned alive by Sitting Bull. I can't be Sarah the Great Pianist. All day long I have to be good as gold, like the Holy Family all rolled into one. As long as I'm not the noisy donkey or the oxen or the baby crying or the caravan arriving with the Three Kings of Orient are. When Mummy turns into a little girl and I turn into a mummy, I'll stop her saying shush and I'll make as much noise as I like to make up for all the lost time when I couldn't make any noise at all. House without noise is sad and frightening. To cheer myself up, I try to hear the sounds my feet make inside my slippers. And I wonder if the noise my big toe makes rubbing against the next toe is like the noise my nose makes against my arm. When I do my writing, I'm afraid of being too noisy. I found out that a P or an F makes a lot more noise than an I or an O, so I write whole pages of I's and O's, and when she finds them, Mummy looks upset and tells me I'm very backward for my age. Daddy must come back soon. I'll show him then that I can make whole daisy chains of F's and G's and K's. Now that he isn't here, Mummy hides all Daddy's things away very carefully. She locks them up in a big cupboard made of dark wood that creaks in the night. She always says that it's Daddy checking up to see that his things have been properly put away. As soon as I hear a creak, I hold my breath and pretend to be asleep by crinkling up my eyes. Then I try and catch Daddy out. But the whole room begins to make noises, and Daddy always chooses the moment when I'm looking to the right to slip out to the left. Next morning, Mummy always checks to see if a tie or a handkerchief is missing. Every Sunday, Mummy takes everything out of the cupboard. The bed is covered with scarves and socks and suits and tobacco. Mummy sometimes smokes Daddy's old pipe and wears his overcoat when she goes to bed. She never smoked before. One day I asked her, "Why don't you wear your pretty nightdress anymore, Mummy?"
"I feel less lonely in Daddy's coat."
I didn't understand properly, but I think it's a way of being two people when she's really only one. Sometimes we'd play together by rolling ourselves up in the things on the bed. We stroke each other with Daddy's hats and we kiss his shoelaces. Mummy dresses me up as Daddy and takes my photograph. I don't know why, but this game makes her cry an awful lot. And she blows her nose on the coat sleeves. When everything on the bed is all crumpled, Mummy says,
"What a naughty boy Daddy is to dirty everything like that."
But instead of taking the things to the laundry, she washes them herself. I think it's her way of staying with Daddy longer, because she does everything very slowly on purpose. Every Tuesday she knits a scarf for when Daddy comes home. To begin with, her needles flew through the blue wool and the white wool. Then the scarf got very long and Mummy ran out of wool. So she unpicked three pullovers and added all the colours, orange and green and purple, and made a long, snaky scarf, and now it stretches all the way from the kitchen to my bedroom. I said, "But, Mummy, it's much too big for Daddy." Mummy moved her fingers very quickly on the ends of the needles.
"No, when we see Daddy again, he'll be so tall that his head will touch the sky, and he'll need an enormous scarf so he won't catch cold."
She goes on even in the night, knitting this long, woolly snake. My mountain daddy's going to be so warm. For days now, Mummy has been going away from me. I told her to drink a lot because I know that she's crying so much her body must be drying up inside. I don't like it when she cries. I always think her tears will stick to her face and blow her up like a balloon, and she'll always stay with those drops hanging from her eyelashes. When she cries, she often gets hiccups until I think she's going to choke. So I bring her a drink and breadcrumbs to dry her tears and cream to wipe off her makeup and cotton wool to dab her hands that she's scratched with her long nails. My clown mummy is slowly fading away through her eyes and through her mouth and through her voice. Mummy isn't mummy anymore. She's got very peculiar. She smiles upside down. I asked her, why do you smile upside down now? She's got a mummy's head and a mummy's hands and a mummy's clothes, but she doesn't know how to talk like a mummy anymore. She doesn't move. She's like my clockwork cat that lost its clockwork. Perhaps inside she's full of broken springs, or perhaps I need a key to wind her up again. I pinched her to find out if the spring in her hand still worked. She looked at me as if I was that lorry in Daddy's accident. Mummy, tell me I'm not a lorry. Why did you scream? Now that Daddy isn't here, no one talks about my birthday. He must come back, otherwise I'll always be sick. I'll grow into a very old little girl. I'll have to put my hair up and dress in black. I'll never learn how to play marbles, and I'll get wrinkles without getting any bigger. I'll be a dwarf in a circus. I'll marry a hunchback, and it'll be a sad story. I don't want someone to write a sad story about me. Just now I was frightened because Mummy suddenly shouted.
Look! Seeker!
I looked up, but I could only see the electric light bulb.
Oh, she can hardly fly. She must be very tired.
However wide I opened my eyes, I couldn't see that the bulb had wings or a beak. Then Mummy went to fetch some bread and threw it up in the air, making seagull noises. I've never seen her so excited.
Can you see? Can you see?
Her shoulders were all covered in breadcrumbs.
Shh.
I didn't say anything. I was too afraid of this funny new Mummy.
Listen. A foghorn.
I stopped breathing to try and listen harder. I listened as hard as I could in front and behind and all round, but I didn't hear anything. Mummy rocked from one foot to the other, making a noise with her shoes.
Foghorn, foghorn.
Her eyes were shouting all kinds of things to me, which I couldn't understand.
Stop, Mummy! You're dreaming! Foghorn, foghorn!
She made so much noise, our neighbours came running in. Why did they take her away? Why do they tell me I ask too many questions? Why? Why? It seems that now, without a daddy and a mummy, I'm not a little girl anymore. I'm a case. No one here will tell me if a case is bigger than a little girl, so I'll never know exactly how old I am. Last night, I dreamt the werewolves came with an enormous cake and 7 candles. They sang, "Happy birthday to you." They cut a huge piece with an enormous knife and gave it to me, saying, "Eat it, it's for you." The cake had enormous headlights and a horrible grinning face. Eat! It zigzagged towards my mouth. Eat! 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 I think I've had an accident, like Daddy.
Prunella Scales played the little girl in Kitty Black's translation of I'll Never Be Seven, by Gilbert Lothier. Her mother was Miranda Forbes, her father, Crawford Logan, and Martine, Teresa Stratfield. I'll Never Be Seven was directed by Martin Jenkins.